You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Michael Spinella. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Canadiens Connection Podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio, keeping you informed, engaged, and entertained. My name is Michael Spinella, and I'm your host for the next hour. This is episode 290 of the Canadiens Connection Podcast, and I'm very pleased to be joined in the studio by my co-host, the editor of the Hockey News Montreal, the founder and the president of Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. And how are you doing today, Rick?
Good day, sir. I'm doing fine. Our first show in April, although you'd never know by the weather, but our first show in April, and this week, spoiler alert, we'll talk about it later, that the Montreal Canadiens were officially eliminated from the playoffs. But don't despair. There are all kinds of reasons to continue to follow the Montreal Canadiens, and actually, I think things are about to get a little more exciting. We have eight critical factors that you're going to want to be following over the next 8 weeks.
For sure. We'll talk all about that in the big topic segment two. Just before that, we have a few games to talk about, some roster updates, and we'll talk about some Habs prospects as well. And then going to the third segment, it's the Have Your Say segment. We turn it over to our listeners. We have some comments from YouTube and an email to get to, plus our Canadiens Connection question of the week. We ask, as a Habs fan, what are you looking forward to the most as the NHL regular season winds down? We want to hear from all of you. And Rick, what is the best way for people to let us know their thoughts?
So many ways to reach us. You can send us an email, as some have opted to do. That's our email address is hello@rocketsportsmedia.com. The most convenient way, I think, is our Rocket Sports text line. You can reach us at 5853-ROCKET. That's 5853-ROCKET.
And you can follow us on social media. Just make sure that you're following at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Plus, you can check out our website, CanadiansConnection.fm. Make sure that you check out our comprehensive pregame previews, postgame recaps for every Montreal Canadiens game at thn.com/Montreal. And here's what's happened since we've been gone. Going back to March the 30th, the Carolina Hurricanes come to town and shut out the Montreal Canadiens 3-0. They score a shorthanded goal, a power play goal, and an empty net goal. Montreal put 20 shots towards Kochetkov, and they were unable to break through and score. So there you go, the Montreal Canadiens getting shut out by the Carolina Hurricanes.
So you're saying that the Canadiens played really well, even strength?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Shorthanded goal, a power play goal, and an empty netter for Carolina. They were in pretty complete control of this one. Unfortunately, Yuri Slavkovsky wasn't able to earn any points on his birthday, his 20th birthday, and that put an end to his 9-game point streak. Caden Gooley out of the lineup, serving his 1-game suspension. And it's been difficult for the Canadiens to beat Carolina. The Carolina has not lost in regulation since that dreaded Sebastian Aho offer sheet. So a little bit of karma there. We don't know. a shout out for the Carolina Hurricanes over the Montreal Canadiens.
On April the 2nd, the Florida Panthers come to town and Montreal wins 5-3 in just an absolutely crazy game, despite going 1-for-7 on the power play and being dominated in the faceoff dot. Nick Suzuki kind of took over the game in the second period, putting up back-to-back goals. The Panthers were actually up 2-1 after the first period, but the Montreal Canadiens came surging back and the Panthers could not do anything until the dying minutes when they finally broke through again. And I haven't even had a chance to talk about, what was it, 3 goals that got called back? Yeah. And one was like called back and forth a few times in there too.
That weird situation where they announced that it was a goal and then the ref said, oops, Eric Furlatt, I think, made a mistake. Not a goal. But whatever happened there, it seemed to energize Montreal. And they kind of took control in that second period. The Panthers have been skidding lately, and Montreal took full advantage.
A couple days off before their next game, and the Tampa Bay Lightning come to town and win 7-4. A pair of goals from Yoel Armia, but the Tampa Bay Lightning just could not stop scoring as they put up 4 goals in the second period. Montreal does hang with them, at least, putting up 4 goals of their own, but unfortunately, the Tampa Bay Lightning breaking through 7 times, not a great look for the Montreal Canadiens.
That second period, again, was the period that turned this game. Tampa outshot Montreal 20-6 in the middle of frame and scored 4 times. So it was, yeah, this one was maybe not the best start for Caden Primo, but he has been playing well lately, and maybe, as I've said a couple weeks ago, we have a goal controversy.
For sure. So the Canadiens' record currently 29-34-12. That's 70 points, 27th in the NHL, and here you have it. The Canadiens were officially eliminated from playoff contention. And looking at the strength of schedule, they have 13th place there, and they're projecting to get 77 points this season.
Yeah, that strength of schedule. Remember when we were talking a couple weeks ago that the Canadiens were getting into meeting very difficult teams? That's leveled out. They've gotten through those games now, over the next 7 games, meeting the Rangers and the Leafs, those are their 2 tougher games, and then they'll finish up twice, they finish the season twice against the Red Wings, and in between time it's the Senators, the Flyers, and the Islanders. So that leaves them with a 7.5% currently 7.5% chance of winning the NHL draft lottery.
So make sure that you check out Habs Notepad, Habs Headlines, feature articles, and game day posts as they appear regularly at thn.com/Montreal. That's the hockey news, Montreal. And quite a bit of roster news coming up from this past week here. Caden Gooley served his 1-game suspension for slashing Flyers forward Travis Konechny. This was a slash that happened from the bench, and he missed 1 game against the Carolina Hurricanes.
We're going to hear from Caden about that incident. Took full responsibility and realizes wasn't so much about what he did, but he did it from the bench, and that's obviously a no-no in the National Hockey League.
Gooley ended up leaving the game on Thursday night with an upper body injury after a hit by Nikita Kucherov. It looked a little bit nasty. You kind of feel bad for Caden Gooley, but I think overall kind of incidental. Hit kind of from behind that sent Caden Gooley flying into the boards face first. And as a result, both Caden Gooley and Arber Xhekaj are now day-to-day with upper body injuries. Justin Barron was called up on an emergency basis.
Well, that's maybe tough news for the Laval Rocket, who are in the middle of a playoff push and could be using Justin Barron. He is a part of Logan Mailloux on the Rocket's first power play wave, Justin Barron on the second. Does this open up an opportunity for David Reinbacher to play the power play? That's all with respect to Laval, but Justin Barron gets an opportunity to come back and You know, he had an up and down season, but has one more audition before the end of the season. With respect to Gooley, that was, you know, he's had concussion problems, and it looks like his head hit the glass and then maybe again on the ice. Was it a dirty hit, suspendable hit? I don't know. It was certainly a bad outcome. Arbor Jack, I also, day-to-day, as the Canadians have described.
So in more positive news, we have to give a big congratulations out to Yoel Armia as he was named the Canadiens candidate for the Bill Masterton Memorial Trophy for the 2023-24 season. He started the season off being put on waivers, being sent down to Laval, but he's come up, and the past month anyway, he's looked pretty good. So far, 16 goals on the year, so pretty happy for the turnaround here from Yoel Armia. It seemed like even being sent to Laval, he took that in stride, took it upon himself to maybe learn some lessons and get himself in check. And a nice little comeback year from one Yoel Armia.
This is a great story. This is a terrific story. And yeah, he had those instances where the Canadians sent him, and it couldn't have been an easy situation for him. Sent to Laval, returned, you know, he's a healthy scratch at times, sent back to Laval. And the entire time he had a positive attitude. All the players in Laval praised him. Jeff Wool praised him for his attitude. And he's taken to meeting with the mental performance coach. He embraced that. And has, you know, he's not as hard on himself, which has been a problem in the past for him, and get into that negative spiral. And his new attitude, he's been absolutely terrific. You know, 16 goals ties his career high. You know, who expected to see him third on the Canadiens in goal scoring? So, I think it's been an absolutely terrific season for him, a real turnaround, and now he can be, you know, fans can stop complaining about him, his contract, and his work ethic. I think it's been very good. Now listen, Yoel Armia is now one of 32 nominees. Each chapter of the Professional Writers Hockey Writers Association nominates a player from the team, and will Yoel Armia win league wide? I don't know if that's necessary for Yoel Armia to prove that he's had a good season, because there are a number of really, really good stories out there, turnarounds. We remember that the Bill Masterson is about perseverance. It's about sportsmanship. It's about dedication to hockey. I like Noah Juulsen being included in this list for Vancouver. We all remember the tough start that he had, the injury start that he had as a prospect with the Montreal Canadiens. Alex Lyne is a terrific story, much like Charlie Lindgren, but in Detroit. Maybe my favorite, and yeah, I'm favoring goaltenders here, but Connor Ingram's story for the Arizona Coyotes is monumental. What he's gone through, and the way he's turned his career around. I like him for being one of the favorites for the overall winner of the Masterton, but we'll see where that turns out.
Yeah, I agree with you there with Connor Ingram. Quite the turnaround. Moved around to a few different teams, and who expected him to essentially become a number one goalie for Arizona this year? But you forgot one name, Rick. How do you feel about one Jonathan Drouin being nominated with the Colorado Avalanche?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Sean Monahan, because I'm just going to ignore that name. Sean Monahan should be on this list, either for Montreal, not that I'd want to see Armia taken off, or for Winnipeg. Sean Monahan has had a terrific turnaround from, you know, the circumstances that he had even prior to getting to Montreal, but the Montreal injury-riddled season. He's had a great season for both Montreal and Winnipeg, a little bit forgotten off of this list.
So now I think it's a good time to get to our Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world. Bookmark thn.com/Montreal to follow our comprehensive coverage of Canadiens prospects.
Each week, we like to highlight a Montreal Canadiens prospect, and this week we're going to shine the spotlight back onto Calpaw forward Oliver Kapanen. He was drafted 64th overall in 2021. The league of playoffs are going on, and he's put up 11 points in 8 games. Great season as well from him. 51 games, 34 points. So certainly someone that you don't want to forget about here.
He's a center, taken in 2021, a second round pick, 64th overall, just 20 years old, and sometimes forgotten, but as you said, has had a great season and has been contributing throughout the playoffs for Calpa. And they're down, I think, in their series currently. Tampere leads 1-0, but the first game of the series went to overtime, Oliver Kapanen picked up an assist in that game.
A report coming from the CHL, they announced that it will be allowing Russian and Belarusian players back into the import draft. The import draft will be held on July 3rd. The CHL Board of Directors approved this decision on Thursday, made the official announcement on Friday.
Yeah, this is something that, despite world events, that the CHL, this is a report. It hasn't been announced. Reported by Jeff Merrick, I believe, from Sportsnet, those players have been banned from the import draft since 2022, and it looks like the CHL will soften their stance and allow them back in this year.
Moving south of the border, the 2024 Hobie Baker hat trick finalists were announced. The Hurricanes prospect Jackson Blake from UND, he's put up 60 points. Also, Macklin Celebrini, 64 points this season. That's the expected first overall pick at the upcoming draft. And everyone's favorite Anaheim Ducks prospect Carter Gauthier, 64 points with Boston College. No Habs prospects, at least as of yet, but I have my fingers crossed about Macklin Celebrini achieving the goal of becoming a Habs prospect at some point here.
I see what you did there. Of course, it's Lane Hutson that was eliminated. He made the top 10 list of semifinalists, let's say, when it was pared down to the Hobie Baker hat trick finalists, down to the three, eliminated, which was not received well by many Habs fans. Difficult to complain about the finalists that were chosen. Celebrini expected to go first overall in the draft. Carter Gauthier had a tremendous season. Of course, he got traded from Philly to Anaheim through the season. An emphasis on Boston, both Boston College and Boston University here. And the other thing that we're going to take a look at is the report that there's going to be an exceptional player status granted in the CHL, which is interesting in and of itself. Whenever that happens, doesn't happen very often. His name is Landon Dupont, 14-year-old defenseman. I guess it happens even more rarely in the WHL.
Yeah, the Western Hockey League, really good point there to bring up. 14-year-old defenseman Landon Dupont. Doesn't happen too often, like you said, but this is certainly a player to keep an eye on. And I don't know. Do we want to start using the terms elite or generational with this player, or is he too young for that?
I think Shane Wright was an exceptional player too, right?
Yeah, that's, well, I mean, he scored a goal this past week.
Nice. Congratulations, Shane.
Yep. But I guess congratulations to Landon Dupont, and especially as a defenseman, I think pretty good achievement there.
For sure.
looking back to the NCAA, the 2024 Frozen Four is set to start April 11th and April 13th, and there are four Montreal Canadiens prospects participating in this tournament. For Boston College, we have Jacob Fowler, who I think we may have mentioned this, but he had the highest win percentage of all goalies this past season in the NCAA, so just wanted to give him a little shout-out. University of Denver, Sam Harris, Boston University with both Lane Hudson and Luke Tuck. Michigan is also included in that group, but no Habs prospects on there. So certainly going to keep an eye on that, especially with Lane Hudson, right?
For sure. One of the we'll just mention that guys. Last week you mentioned there were six. Who's missing? Well, University of Minnesota lost to Boston University in the second round. Remember, those are single matchup, single knockout matchups. So that eliminates a Pitlick, Rhett Pitlick, and Luke Mittelstadt. They're out of the tournament, leaving just four. And the way it's matching up could be interesting. The semifinals, and these take place in St. Paul, Minnesota, at the XL Energy Center, where the Minnesota Wild play. Semifinals on the 11th, and it's going to be Boston College, who had to go to overtime to beat Quinnipiac, up against Michigan. And then in the other bracket, it's Denver and Boston. So there's the possibility that you could have Boston College facing Boston University in the final, which would be incredible, not only for the long history and rivalry between those two colleges, but the battle between Habs prospects as well, Jacob Fowler for Boston College, Lane Hudson and Luke Tuck for Boston University.
And we know that Habs fans love Boston hockey. That's a thing, right?
Look at the leadership of the Montreal Canadiens with the general manager and executive vice president from that area, and you know.
Yeah, lots of connections. But that's neither here nor there.
No.
Let's take a look at the Laval Rocket from this past week, Montreal's AHL affiliate. They put up two losses after coming off a pretty good week. They had three wins last week, and now they're starting to skid a little bit. So on March the 30th, Belleville gets their revenge on the Laval Rocket, winning 5-2. Laval just could not figure out the Belleville Senators in this game, and some lapses in D coverage too led to some BSN's goals. A few days off in between, and on April the 5th, Syracuse comes to town and beats Laval 3-1. Laval was actually up 1-0 after the first, but the Crunch battled back, three unanswered goals, including an empty netter. So Laval's record currently 31-28, 6-2, 70 points in fifth place in the North Division. A couple of games coming up for them on the 6th of April. Springfield comes to town, and that's a 3 p.m. start, and then a long break as well before Laval heads over to Cleveland on April the 11th.
So that's Saturday afternoon, and then Thursday, you're going to want to be paying attention to the Laval Rocket. This two-game losing streak has complicated issues with respect to the playoffs. Laval has just five games remaining in their season. And the team they're chasing, the Toronto Marlies, has eight games remaining. That's three games in hand. They trail the Marlies by 3 points. And as I said, the Marlies have three games in hand. The two teams trailing the Laval Rocket, the Belleville Senators, have two games in hand. The Utica Comets have also two games in hand. Utica Comets are one point behind the Laval Rocket. The Senators are actually tied with the Rocket in points, but it's the Rocket who have the edge in regulation wins, and that's the first tiebreaker. And so I know it's complicated. It's very complicated. So let's look at the possibilities here. Well, the Rocket just five games left. Belleville has the ability to play extra games. They got to win those games. It's not a given, of course. What's the strength of schedule? The opponents for Lavelle have a winning percentage of 547. The opponents for Belleville have a winning percentage of 577, a little bit more difficult. The Utica Comets, the teams they face, 610. So they have the most difficult schedule at all of all. They have a couple of games against Toronto coming up, Providence and whatnot. So this is going to be difficult for Lavelle. The other issue is that three of their five games are going to be on the road. We know that Lavelle plays much better at home, at Place Bell, where their fans fill the building. This is going to be very close. You're going to have to be paying attention every day. You're going to have to be following our crew that bring you the Lavelle Rocket. And we know that this is a big deal for the organization to make the playoffs. A really big deal. And I think the other key here is Jakub Dobisch, who has been unbelievable. He may actually get to the record number of starts. He's at 45 or 50 right now. 45 or 46, and the record is 51, I believe. So keep an eye on that. And difficult task for a rookie goaltender in the AHL. He seems to have the mental makeup and the stamina so far to be able to keep up with that. One more thing. I know I'm rambling here, but one more thing with respect to the Lavelle Rocket that I'll just toss into the mix. And that is that Anthony Marcotte has an interview coming out, and that should come out during the game on Saturday afternoon with Springfield, as an interview with John Sedgwick. We remember John Sedgwick was promoted and given the general managership for the Lavelle Rocket just a month or two ago. And the tease from Anthony Marcotte, he said he asked John Sedgwick on J.F. Uhle and his work. We know that J.F. Uhle is up for a contract. His contract's up, and we'll see if it's renewed or not. John Sedgwick says he's very satisfied with the work of J.F. Uhle, and that his return is not contingent on the Rocket making the playoffs. So that sounds to me, was he playing with the media? I don't know, but it sounds pretty positive for J.F. Uhle returning to the Rocket. I think the Canadians are moving to a model where they want their AHL coach to win games and please the fans, and their development crew to go in and develop players. We'll see what happens there, but there are so many parts of this that we're going to need to focus on the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, so lots of things to look out for, and you know that we'll have you covered here. We have a really good AHL team with Chris G, Amy Johnson, and yourself there, Rick. Of course, Patrick Williams gets in there sometimes as well. So we'll have you covered there. Just head over to thn.com/Montreal and look out for the upcoming episodes of this podcast.
Can I just add, I think we're going to have Patrick Williams on the podcast next week, episode 291. So that'll be a perfect time to review the playoff situation for the Rocket. Also, just a heads up that if you have a question for Patrick Williams, that would be a perfect time to reach out to us at 5853 Rocket or on social media.
Moving down one league to the ECHL, Montreal's ECHL affiliate, the Trois-Rivières Lions, they played one game this past week, and it was a losing effort on April 3rd as they lose 5-2 to Maine. Trois-Rivières' record currently 29-29-5-3. That's fourth place in the North Division. But perhaps the biggest news coming out of Trois-Rivières is the Conn Sports and Entertainment has reached an agreement in principle to sell the Trois-Rivières Lions. And we have the full story from Chris G at thn.com/Montreal. But unfortunately, the Newfoundland Growlers are ceasing operations immediately, the Maple Leafs affiliate. So feeling pretty sad for that Newfoundland market. I know that there's a lot of great hockey fans out there, and it's too bad that they're losing their team. Certainly a storied franchise, and I think they will be missed.
This, obviously the game this week took a much of a backseat because it was, no one really knew what was going to happen with respect to the Trois-Rivières Lions. There have been financial problems all year long for both of the franchise owned by both the Growlers and the Lions, both owned by Deakin Sports and Entertainment. It was something that was causing problems with the ECHL all year round. It was causing problems with the host cities and unpaid bills and all of that sort of thing. So the league governors of the ECHL had set a deadline of April 2nd to get this situation resolved. It wasn't able to be resolved for the Newfoundland Growlers. They ceased their operations, and fortunately, a last-minute solution came through for the Trois-Rivières Lions. We should note that Jeff Molson, the Montreal Canadiens, don't have ownership of Trois-Rivières. They do of Lavelle, not of Trois-Rivières. And maybe it's with respect to, the Lavelle Rocket make a lot of money. They fill Place Bell. The Trois-Rivières Lions, I believe, are second worst in attendance in the ECHL. And obviously causing a lot of their problems. There was a local buyer. I think it was reported in some of Chris's articles that Fix Auto had a deal, but that fell through. So at the last minute, an American buyer came in, paid the city $600,000, which was part of what was owed, and has an agreement in principle. That deal is not yet finalized, so that Deakin Sports and Entertainment currently, as we speak, still controls the team, but they have been saved in that part of their bills have been paid. And there's going to be a move to this new owner. It's an American owner. The thought at this time is that the Lions are going to be staying put in Trois-Rivières, but that could change as well. So this is another one of those situations that changes quickly. It's still evolving, but that's where it sits at the moment. And what we do know is Trois-Rivières will complete the season, and they have an opportunity to compete in the playoffs, sitting, as you mentioned, fourth in their division.
And if I've not been complimentary enough of our own Chris G, I would like to say that he does amazing coverage on the Trois-Rivières Lions with his weekly notepad. So if you want to get a full update on Trois-Rivières every single week, make sure you look out for that. And in fact, you can find all of our coverage on Canadiens Prospects at thn.com/Montreal, plus find excellent English language coverage of the Quebec Maritimes Junior Hockey League at thn.com/QMJHL. And now it's time to get to our quotes of the week. And like you teased earlier, we have three quotes coming from one Caden Gooley. Of course, he was suspended for slashing Flyers forward Travis Konecny while on the bench. And here's what he had to say about his disciplinary hearing.
It's just trying to protect a teammate, and was just like a heat of the moment thing, and looking back at it probably wasn't the smartest thing to do, and obviously don't want to get suspended, and just can't do anything from the bench. And message was pretty clear with the league about that, and Slash wasn't good either, but I think most of it was just from the bench, and yeah, live and you learn my lesson, so be excited to get back in the lineup.
So the Slash wasn't great, as he says, but it was, the league was clear in their message. You cannot interfere with the play on the ice when you're sitting on the bench. Of course, Caden Gooley saw Yuri Slavkovsky engaged with Travis Konechny behind the play, a bit of a scrum, and reached out and tagged him with his stick. Can't do that. And as he said, that he's learned his lesson.
And here's what he had to say on his reason for slashing Konechny from the bench.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. He hit me earlier before that. Didn't really have anything to do with that. I mean, his hit on me was clean, and had nothing really to do with that. It was more just youngest guy on our team, first overall pick. Felt like just wanted to leave him alone. So that was really all it was, yeah.
So he was sending a message. He was asked if, Konechny had given him, had made a hit on him earlier. And said, no, clean hit. That was fine. It was simply that this is the youngest player on our team. This is our first overall pick. I wanted to protect him. I wanted to send a message, leave him alone. So some leadership qualities clearly there. And a protective role, Caden Gooley, for Yuri Slavkovsky.
Yeah, just not approaching it in the right way. And like you said, perhaps a lesson learned that you can't handle it like that. Our final quote from Caden Gooley is talking about the character of the team.
Yeah, no, I think that game, just in general, there was a lot of passion, and it got a little chippy there, and everyone was standing up for each other, taking care of each other. So, that's a huge plus in that game. And we know coming in with their style of play and the type of team they have that they're going to play like that, and it's huge for our group when you see us respond like that. Obviously, not in the way that I did, but in other ways, we were standing up for each other in scrums, finishing hits, doing whatever we could to kind of stick together. So that was huge to see, for sure.
One of the criticisms of the Bergevin era of teams is that there were things that went on the ice that were left unpunished. That we heard fans complain about that nonstop. And I think what Caden Gooley is saying there is we're going to stand up for each other and protect each other. And we're going to let the league know that that's the kind of team we are. And again, all three quotes speak to the leadership of Gooley, the growth of Caden Gooley, and the responsibility that he feels towards his teammates.
Yeah, for sure. Certainly love to see that from one young Caden Gooley. And he's still very early on in his career, so it's nice to see that he's so mature for his age.
For sure.
Ending the segment with a couple hockey news and notes from around the league. To start, the New York Rangers and the New Jersey Devils, well, they engaged in a line brawl 2 seconds from the start of the game on Wednesday night, and 8 players ended up being rejected. The coaches decided they did not like each other, and it was just quite the spectacle to see.
Yeah, this was pretty ugly. You could tell it was kind of premeditated. It was set up to happen, given that the lineups that both of the coaches iced with fourth lines, and this goes back to Rempe and McDermott, and I think most of our listeners know the story. I guess just what I thought was kind of comical is Travis Green and Peter Laviolette, mostly Peter Laviolette, screaming at each other on the bench, kind of like while this was going on, like they didn't know it was going to happen, and it was such a shock, and blaming each other, kind of silly. This was, as Travis Green said, if the fight had happened in the previous game, none of the theatrics would have happened the way it did. That kind of leans to the code, saying that it still exists. It's still which is, I know some of our listeners don't like to hear, but unfortunately, it's still there.
And our final note before we head into a break here, Elliot Friedman says that the NHL continues to push for an expanded playoff format. And to that, I say, please, no, I don't want that. I've seen it in the AHL. I feel like it kind of discredits the whole regular season. You see it in the NBA a little bit as well. And yeah, I'm just not a fan of this. Personally, I think that when playoff time comes around, just get on with the playoffs. Let's get things moving here. I don't see a need to expand this, but I guess the NHL sees an opportunity to maybe make a little bit more money here.
Gary Bettman has been pretty clear that he doesn't see any need to expand the playoffs. And I think that the Elliot Friedman has been kind of on a one-man crusade, although there's lots of fans that would like to see expanded playoffs. I would just question the fact the more teams you add, and listen, 50% of the teams in the league make the playoffs. If you're not able to make the playoffs, there's something wrong with your team. Do you want that team in a play-in round or something like that? I think the glaring example is in the AHL, 72% of teams make the playoffs. That's 23 out of 32. It just dilutes the season. Their regular season games become far more meaningless. And then once you get in, there's a play-in round, a best of three play-in round in the AHL. Then in order to make sure that the playoffs don't go on too long, the next two rounds are best of five. You don't actually get best of seven until you get to the last two rounds of the playoffs. So you have to think of all of those things too. This is something that Gary Bettman has said no, he doesn't believe in, it pains me to say, it really does, but I agree with Gary here.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Like you said, there's 82 games in a season already. If your team's not in a playoff spot by the time you get to the end, I think, you deservingly miss that playoff opportunity. Like I said, too, watching this in the NBA, like you see a few teams just kind of coast a little bit towards the end just to squeak into the play-in round, and then they start to take it seriously. I just don't see a need for it as a fan. And honestly, when we get to the spring and summer months, just get me to the Stanley Cup final. I just want to know who wins. Like the rest of it,
Well, and if you disagree, don't just say you're idiots, although we appreciate that. Tell us why. Tell us why you think this would be a good idea. And not just because the Montreal Canadiens, while they're mediocre, they could claim to make the playoffs. Give us some rational reasons. Reach out to us. We're anxious to hear your thoughts. You can reach us at 585-THROUGH-ROCKET.
And you'll have plenty of times during this break. Coming up, you'll hear a message from our sponsors, and then we'll get to our big topic segment, 8x8, charting the course ahead of the NHL draft. This is Canadians Connection Podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Maybe you want to make a bet on five different players who are going to score a goal tonight. The opportunities are endless on DraftKings Sportsbook. There are so many different combinations, opportunities, specials, parlays, straight up money line bets, you name it. There's so many ways to play on DraftKings Sportsbook. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
Welcome back to Canadians Connection Podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. I'm Michael Spinella, and you can find me on Twitter at The Spinella. With me in the studio is our president and founder of Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. Make sure to give him a follow on Twitter at Rocket Sports. You can also follow at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Plus, we have a website, CanadiansConnection.fm. Also, just a reminder here to make sure that you tap that subscribe button in the player or your favorite podcasting app. That way, you never miss a single episode of the Canadians Connection podcast. And Rick, we're coming up on the end of the year here. Lots of interesting things with these Montreal Canadiens to still look forward to. I believe 7 games left in this regular season over the next 11 days. And honestly, there are some things that Habs fans should look forward to over the next 8 weeks. We kind of divvy this up into kind of an 8x8 type situation. So here are the 8 things that you and I and Habs fans should keep track of for the next 8 weeks. And the first thing, the Montreal Canadiens themselves. I know you've been hyping this up quite a bit, but is there a goalie controversy with Caden Primo and Sam Montembeau? Of course, Caden Primo having earned the Molson Cup of the Month for March. It would appear that he's making his case to challenge for the starting crease next season. What do you think about the possibility of that, Rick? I know this has been one of your favorite topics to get into.
Well, and doing it a little out of fun. And I think that we've seen other Montreal media folks talking about it. I think that what this says is there's not a lot to choose between those goaltenders. And it kind of points out the fact that, we know who Sam Montembeau is. Caden Primo maybe hasn't yet reached his ceiling, so can continue to grow. But I don't think it's settled science to say that next season Sam Montembeau is the number one goaltender. Because in almost every respect, and I understand he's played fewer games, I understand the strength of teams. We want to compare that to, although as you pointed out, Montembeau had some starts against teams well down in the lineup as well. But when you compare almost any stat, Caden Primo's, you know, his numbers are better or at least favorable with Sam Montembeau. So I think this is something that I think it's clear that they are the two goaltenders that will be in camp. They are in September. They are the two goaltenders that will be on the opening night roster. But over these next 11 days, you know, is there a goaltender who's going to finish strong and kind of make a stamp that, okay, this watch me for training camp? I think it's going to be one of the interesting parts of watching the Montreal Canadiens over the next 11-12 days.
Yeah, we've seen over the last couple of weeks, Marty has not hesitated to put Caden Primo in that net and give him a few starts. And I think, too, it's fair to say that Caden Primo has been able to put on better performances than Sam Montembeau, at least these last 2 weeks. And he's been able to win some games. He's got some shutouts underneath him. So it's been pretty exciting, and we'll see. I think that with goaltenders, of course, there's that old expression, goalies are voodoo. That could be what's happening with these two goaltenders. But like we said, down the stretch in these final games, I think it's going to be very interesting to see who performs and who gets the majority of the starts.
Yeah, and we're not ignoring, you know, Caden Primo had a rough start this week. It's not all lollipops and roses for him either. But I think that's kind of the point, that both have been rather inconsistent. And can one of them grab the torch as the season ends?
Something else to look forward to on the Montreal Canadiens is what other milestones can the top line reach? So, of course, this past week, Nick Suzuki brought himself to the 72-point total. He's got over 30 goals at this point. How many can he get? He's had a nice little run here, and it's been fun to watch Suzuki take over games at various points. Another thing to look out for is Cole Caulfield. Can he beat his career high of goals? He's got 26 is his career high, so he could be on his way to that. And the other thing is, I know Slafkovský is a little bit far from the 20-goal mark at this point. He's currently sitting on 16, but I think he's got enough time to potentially get to that 20-goal point. What do you think about some of these milestones that the top line can reach?
Well, Slafkovský reached that 40-point mark, above that, now 44 points. Can he? He's sitting at 28 assists. 30 assists seems, you know, that seems absolutely reachable. Cole Caulfield, the most assists that he's in 35 has ever got. Nick Suzuki, he crossed that with his 40th assist, crossed that 30-goal, 40-assist mark, and the first Montreal Canadian to do that since 2007-2008. That was Alex Kovalev. So he's set a mark. Will Mike Matheson get to that? He's at minus 27. Will he get to the minus 31 to tie a record there? There's all kinds of little marks to that we're going to be keeping a focus on. You know, we talked about Joel Armia as well, and tied for third in goal scoring. Can he move ahead of Slafkovský? All of those are things that we're going to be watching as the season comes to a close.
And on a lesser note, can Josh Anderson come alive? Only 8 goals, 18 assists on the year, and honestly, watching this guy play has not been very fun. He's usually just kind of not involved in the play, and even when he gets those great scoring opportunities, he just can't seem to finish at all. So what's to come of Josh Anderson as we approach the end of the year here? Do you think that Josh is back or will be back at some point?
I just like Josh Anderson to just remove everything that he's been told. I think Marty St. Louis has done a great job, and we've talked about it. He's been an inspirational coach, and has had an effect on particular players. I think we also have to acknowledge that he's failed with other players. His methods have not worked whatsoever with Josh Anderson. He's got him thinking too much. And not going out there and skating fast and hitting people and scoring goals. I think so. For the next 7 games, Josh Anderson should go out and play Josh Anderson hockey. And he needs to do that to go into the summer with at least a little bit of momentum. You know, there's players who are going to be playing for the next contract. Colin White's one of them. Tanner Pearson back into the lineup for Ulanen on Saturday night. He's another one who is done with the Montreal, who will be done at the end of the season with the Montreal Canadiens, but will be looking for his next stop.
And here's a big question for you. Will Christian Dvorak return to the lineup before the end of the season? Well, the latest reports say that he could return before the end of the season, but he probably won't get too many games in. Of course, the last couple seasons have been pretty difficult for one Christian Dvorak, where he's been dealing with a lot of injuries. When he's been in the lineup, I think he's been all right, but it's been difficult for him to really get anything going since he's been so in and out.
What a disastrous trade. What an absolutely panic trade. Mark Bergevin, the first and second pick for Christian Dvorak, and we knew it. But it surprised me to go back and check and realize that Christian Dvorak has played 25 games this season. We forget that. And in those 25 games, just 3 goals and 4 assists for 7 points. Yes, he'll play. I'll boldly say that yes, he'll play. And it's just going to complicate things because I like Alex Newhook playing center right now. I like Evans playing center right now. Colin White maybe might be moved to the wing, but he's been having a dreadful time at the faceoff dot anyway, so maybe not a bad thing. But yes, on the positive side, good on the medical staff, good on Christian Dvorak for working to get back with his pectoral injury. It was announced that he would likely be out for the rest of the season. Good for him to get back in if he does and play a few games before the offseason.
Yeah, for sure. Good for him, for the person, and hopefully when he does come back, he's able to put up a few more points in there. Be nice to see this player go into the offseason with a little bit of momentum. And the last point here, and this is one for me. Rick, you know me. I'm not a greedy person. I don't ask for too much, but there's one thing I'm asking for, and that's playing spoiler. I'm looking at the very end of the schedule, and I'm seeing 2 games against the Detroit Red Wings, a home and home. The Red Wings are currently battling for a playoff spot. They're a little bit outside right now, but how funny would it be if the Red Wings went into those 2 games just a little bit outside of the playoffs, maybe 1 or 2 points, and then just get absolutely crushed by the Habs in both of those games. So that's the result I want to see. That's the position I want the Habs to be in. I want them to play spoiler to the Detroit Red Wings and ruin their playoff hopes. What do you think about that one?
So Schadenfreude. And I'm sure that would line up with a number of our listeners. You want to celebrate the misery of somebody else is the phrase. No, that's absolutely. The Canadians shouldn't be taken lightly. They've been playing pretty well. So yes, they can still have, they can't affect their own, way into the playoffs, but they can affect another team's outcome with respect to the playoffs. Absolutely.
And as you're talking about playoffs, how about that Laval Rocket team? We talked about it a little bit earlier, but the playoff push is on. Can the Rocket make the playoffs, and how far can they go? So currently 5th place in the North Division, and there's a lot of hockey that could happen, and we could see some teams move up and down the standings a little bit here, but I'll get you to talk about the potential of the Laval Rocket making a playoff push here.
Can we put a number on it? No, we can't. Other than the AHL has the magic number for Laval as 15 to make the playoffs. So what does that mean? Well, in terms of Laval wins and losses by their competitors, it has to total 15. Unfortunately, the magic number for the Toronto Marlies is 11. For the Belleville Senators is also lower at 14. You want to carve that number down as the season goes on. It's going to be really touch and go. It's going to be difficult, but it's a race, and it's the AHL. Things happen. Laval Rocket are going to face the Cleveland Monsters. Cleveland is well above Laval in the standings, but Columbus is down 10 regular players. So they have ravaged the Cleveland roster. That means that I think that the Monsters have gone on a 7-game losing streak, something to that effect. Even though they're a good team, that helps Laval. There's all these little things that play a part in the AHL. Could be the NHL team. And look, we saw that with Justin Barron getting called up. So it's a situation that's in motion, not static, and very difficult to predict.
And while you're watching Laval, you can enjoy the performances of one Logan Mailloux, David Reinbacher, the fifth overall pick from last season, Emil Heinemann, and Jakob Dobis, who's been playing quite great as of recent as well. I'll throw in the other goalie too, Casimir Cascazuo. He's got a great personality, so he's always going to be fun to watch. I would have thrown Justin Barron onto this list, but he just recently got called up. I'm sure he'll get sent down at some point here too, so you can certainly enjoy the performances of all sorts of different Habs prospects, maybe even some of those AHL veterans as well. And Rick, what do you think about the potential of Joshua Waugh and Jaden Struble rejoining the Laval Rocket? I know that they are eligible because they were put on waivers. I believe that was around a trade deadline day. So they do have the potential to play for the Laval Rocket at some point down the stretch and in the playoffs.
For sure. Let's unpack a couple of things there. Laval has 5 games left. Jakob Dobis is going to start against the Springfield Thunderbirds on Saturday afternoon. Anthony Marcotte, the team broadcaster, the broadcaster for the team, expects Jakob Dobis to start every single game as long as they're in contention in the playoffs. That's quite something. That's quite a load for him. And David Reinbacher has been playing pretty well. We saw the home sellouts, so fans could get a peek at him. Logan Mailloux has been tremendous. On the recalls, two of those recalls were devoted to Joshua Waugh and Jaden Struble when they were briefly on paper sent down to Laval at the trade deadline, recalled. So they Montreal has used 2 of 4. Justin Barron doesn't count because he's an emergency recall. So the Canadiens have 2 left. When will Joshua Waugh and Jaden Struble get to Laval? Joshua Waugh has to recover from his hand injury. Is that going to happen before the end of the end of the regular season for Laval? We have no indication that that's going to happen. And with the injuries to Gouley and Jacquet, however long that's going to happen, you're not going to be seeing Struble loaned until the Canadiens' season is done, if those injuries carry on. So, yes, enjoy the performances of all those players wherever they might play. But again, there's not a straightforward answer. It's a bit complicated.
For sure. Other things to look forward to, and this is still very prospect heavy, the NCAA Frozen Four coming up pretty soon. We talked about that a little bit in that first segment, but 4 Canadiens prospects will participate, as well as Macklin Celebrini will be in there. So there's going to be a lot of great hockey. Jacob Fowler's been something to watch. Of course, Lane Hutson is a bit of a fan favorite in terms of prospects right now. And that leads us to our next question, which is, will Lane Hutson join the Canadiens at the end of the NCAA season? I know we're running out of NHL season 2, but it sounds like, at least Ken Hughes said that he would be pretty interested in that possibility.
Yeah, the number of times that Hughes has mentioned this, you think it's kind of a foregone conclusion that it's going to happen. The championship, if Lane Hutson makes it to the championship, is on April 13th. That's a Saturday. The Canadiens, after the 13th, have 2 games remaining, both against the Detroit Red Wings. The first on Monday in Detroit, and then finishing the season at the Bell Center. My expectation is that you're going to see Lane Hutson probably in both of those games.
So looking forward to that. The other thing to look out for is the CHL playoffs and the Memorial Cup. So, of course, the OHL, WHL, and QMJHL championships are underway. Which prospects do we think will join Owen Beck at the Memorial Cup? And I feel like one Philippe Michard has a pretty good chance, as he could advance in the playoffs pretty soon here. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a lengthy list. There's Philippe Michard is part of that. Florian Jacky, although his team's down in their playoff bid, but there's a good chance that one of the other Canadians' prospects will be there at the Memorial Cup. How do we know that Owen Beck is going to make it? Well, he plays for the host team, Saginaw. And so he'll be there for sure. And I expect there's going to be more than one Canadiens prospect at the Memorial Cup. So you're going to want to watch and pay attention to, first, the championships of the three CHL leagues, and then the Memorial Cup.
Yeah, always fun to keep an eye on that. And you'll see some other draft-eligible prospects for the upcoming draft, too, in that one. And that brings me to number five here, and that is the NHL Draft Lottery. Everyone loves to watch this broadcast, right? Definitely not a terrible broadcast every single year, but always fun to look out for that. And, of course, that comes up in May, and that's kind of the moment of truth for the Montreal Canadiens if they'll have a crack at projected first overall Macklin Celebrini, who by now I think you all know I'm pretty excited about this player. Whether or not you're actually going to watch that broadcast, it's always fun to see. And, of course, watching those ping pong balls, you know, always someone comes close to it. Like, I think the Leafs came in close in the bubble year at one point. And, yeah, always fun to watch at least the replay. But I feel like there's always a little bit too much Gary Bettman in this broadcast. We can ignore that part at least, right?
Sure. Right now, as we mentioned earlier, the Canadiens are... would choose sixth or at least have the sixth best odds of winning the draft lottery at 7.5%. You know, they might move up and take over Ottawa's spot. That would drop them to 6.5%. I guess there's a chance as well that Arizona would move up and they'd take Arizona's spot at 8.5%. I don't think beyond that that the Canadiens can move a whole lot. And that sets up the draft lottery where, yes, they can jump up to that first. They can win. They can win the first overall spot. Otherwise, I think it's they'll be picking somewhere between fifth and eighth.
Yeah. So I think this kind of relates to whether or not you are Team Tank or hoping for some spoilers like we talked about in our first point. And, of course, you mentioned a game coming up against the Ottawa Senators. I think it's going to be difficult to choose. Do you want to win that game or do you want the better position?
Well, we know there's lots of folks that on the Tank train and that they may get reinforcements as we get closer to the end of the season.
So point number six here is the IIHF World Championships. And this sometimes it takes a bit of a backseat to the NHL playoffs because it happens around the same time. I think we can talk about some Canadiens players that could participate here. I know last season, Sam Montembeau was one of the goaltenders for Team Canada. Yoel Armia suited up for Team Finland. I'd like to see the potential of a Cole Caulfield going as well. Slafkovský for Slovakia would be pretty incredible to see. But what about Caden Primo? I feel like if he gets invited, this would be a huge opportunity for him to establish himself because we know last year after Montembeau put up a pretty decent performance that there was a lot of hype around him and that seemed to solidify him as the number one goalie in the minds of a lot of fans and media, right?
Yeah, it was kind of odd because there wasn't much of a, other than on Team Canada, there was very little NHL presence in the World Championships last year. So the lineups that Montembeau was facing were pretty weak, to be honest. But I think this year is going to be very different. Why is it going to be different this year? It's because the general managers of both Team Canada and the U.S. squad have said that the players who are available and don't partake in the World Championships will fall down the list when they're putting together the Four Nations Cup or when they're putting together the Olympic squad. So if you want to, have a chance to go to the Olympics the Four Nations, you're going to avail yourself of the opportunity if one of the teams asks you to attend the World Championships this year. So yes, Sam Montembeau, Nick Suzuki, Caden Gooley, Alex Newhook, all for Canada, Mike Matheson, on the U.S. side, Struble, if the Rocket are done. You mentioned Primo, Jordan Harris, Cole Caulfield, and also Lane Hutson, Juraj Slafkovský with Slovakia, Armia with Finland. Again, if the Rocket are eliminated, why wouldn't David Reinbacher be playing with Austria? So you're going to be seeing a lot more, I believe, Montreal Canadiens players at this tournament. It goes from the 10th to the 26th of May in Prague. So that's going to be something we're going to keep a much careful eye on this season than in seasons past.
I don't think we can rule out the possibility of some coaches being on one of these international teams, particularly maybe a Marty St. Louis on a Team Canada, maybe not the head coach, but as an associate or an assistant. I think that would be a pretty big opportunity for him as well.
Possibly. It's something I'm not kept up on. They might have they certainly have their management structure. Not sure if they've chosen the coaches yet, but that's a really good point.
Number seven on our list here is the NHL Draft Combine. So coming in June 2nd to 8th, this is always pretty fun, especially for us, because we get to hear from a lot of the players. We get to hear some misdirections from Kent Hughes as he gets interviewed. And we get to hear who the Montreal Canadiens have their eyes on, some of the players that they are interviewing. And I guess on a lesser note, what ridiculous questions are the Canadiens going to ask this year? Is there money in a toilet this time?
I think that the draft combine, not only the tests, because we remember that there were so many that didn't participate in the tests in years past because they had been involved in one way or the other. But yes, press conferences that Kent Hughes had, and I remember last season when we started talking about the Canadiens keying in on a defenseman, I thought our listenership was going to go out of their minds because they were looking for a forward. But our information was correct that the Canadiens were zeroing in on one David Reinbacher. So those kinds of, you're going to start getting clues as well. And as we lead up to the combine, there's going to be some draft rankings that come out. There's going to be some mocks that come out. We're going to start having guests in May. We have the group of draft experts that we had last season was second to none. Jerome Berube and Sportsology and Sam Cosentino, and it's going to be you're going to have all the information that you need, I've seen on social media Canadians fans are starting to pick out their favorite already, wanting one player or another, or not wanting a defenseman. I thought it was fascinating this week that there was a report on TV Sport that Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon have already been meeting with some of these prospects. In Sam Cosentino's most recent ranking at number 11, he has Tiege Eginla, of course, son of Jerome. The Montreal Canadiens, or at least Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon, have already met with that individual four times. He's a forward in the WHL with the Kelowna Rockets. That's interesting. This continues. A defenseman, you're not going to want to hear this. Maybe no. I'll skip it. No, I won't. At number nine in Sam's rankings, Zane Parekh. The Canadians have met with him twice, once in person, and they had a video conference meeting with him as well. And Berkeley Catton with Spokane in the WHL, they met with Berkeley in Spokane and also had a video conference with him. They haven't met with, as far as that information goes, they haven't met with, Cole Iserman. I think there's some mixed feelings on a Cole Iserman, but a very skilled player, Consul Helenius, who we saw at Finland in the World Juniors. Who else? Caden Lindstrom. I've seen a lot of people talking about Caden Lindstrom with Medicine Hat in the WHL. We don't have any information that they've met with him. So these are the kinds of things that are going to be coming up over the next 8 weeks for sure. Especially once we get to the combine, there'll be a lot more information, a lot more clues. All of these prospects, or at least some of them, are going to have an opportunity to prove themselves at places like the Frozen Four, the Memorial Cup, the World Championships, that add to that file of information for all of these young men who, one of them, the Canadians, are going to be joining the Canadians with, a top 10 pick.
So, of course, our number 7 and number 8 tie in pretty closely, as Draft Buzz is probably one of the more bigger things that we're going to be looking out for. Like you said, the draft rankings, the mock drafts coming up, we're certainly going to have a lot of coverage. I guess a couple other prospects you haven't mentioned, maybe like a Sam Dickinson, a Demidov as well, or two that I liked quite a bit. And of course, the Macklin Celebrini hype is on. So very excited for that. Very excited to get to the draft. It's always a fun time of year, and that's going to be held in Vegas, so looking forward to seeing how that pans out. And this draft coverage is always fun to get to. There's always a lot of conversations, and for some, those conversations are more arguments of my guy's better than your guy, but it's always a good time of year. We appreciate all of that, and like you said, Rick, we're going to have all sorts of great coverage coming up on that in the next couple of weeks. I believe May is what you mentioned.
Sam Dickinson, we'll just kind of point out that he is a defenseman with the London Knights in the OHL, if you're right. No, but your other mention of Demidov, absolutely a forward who we'll see if he's available when the Canadians come around to pick.
So with that, we gave you lots of things to look forward to, and it's going to be a fun time of year. I know the NHL regular season is coming to an end, but still plenty of things to look forward to as a Habs fan. And our Canadians Connection question of the week is, we want to ask you, as a Habs fan, what are you looking forward to the most as the NHL season winds down? We want to hear from you, and we'll give you some time to think about it as we move into our final break here. Stay with us. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio.
The Canadians Connection is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. Their mission is to build a worldwide network of sports fans who are informed, engaged, entertained, and connected. Learn more about RSM, its team, and its portfolio of brands at rocketsportsmedia.com. I bet you enjoy sporting your best Habs jerseys, dressing up your kids and pets in the cutest Habs gear, and showing off your decked-out hockey cave or fanning. Well, don't just show your friends, show your Habs. The Rocket Sports Media team wants you to boast your finest pictures for our global network of Montreal Canadiens fans. Include the hashtag ShowYourHabs when posting your fan photos on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Then log on to ShowYourHabs.com to see your entries, along with photos and posts from Habs fans all over the world. A proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network. If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. In addition, we also offer sponsorship opportunities for fan events and featured areas of website content, giving you name and logo recognition. Visit rocketsportsmedia.com to contact us regarding this unique marketing opportunity. For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, log in to thn.com/Montreal. Your year-round source for anything Habs-related. That's thn.com/Montreal.
Welcome back to episode 290 of the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. You can follow at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Plus, you can visit our website, CanadiansConnection.fm. Also, feel free to text us anytime via the Rocket Sports text line, 5853-ROCKET. That's 5853-ROCKET. And like we outlined in that second segment, Rick, lots of things to look forward to. And I think we're going to do a pretty good job of helping all Habs fans keep track of all the shenanigans coming up over the next few weeks here.
I think you missed one, though.
Uh-oh.
The acquisition of Trevor Zegras, isn't that what's going to happen?
Oh, I mean, I personally wouldn't mind it, but, you know, it's not happening yet.
And that would be the draft or the summer. And we're only talking about the next 8 weeks, folks.
Yeah, of course. So here's what you need to know from Rocket Sports. We cover the Montreal Canadiens for the hockey news, and you can find all of that content at thn.com/Montreal. All your Canadiens coverage in one place. We have game day post feature articles. We have coverage on Laval Rocket and Trois-Rivières Lion. So make sure that you head over there and check out all of our great content. And if you're looking for some multimedia type content, we have all sorts of great stuff being put out onto our YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search at All Habs and you'll be able to find it. On there, you will find on Monday the Canadians Connection podcast, last week's episode entitled Caulfield and Slafkovský, Insights into Their Struggles and Success. We had Doc Morris on that episode. We started putting this podcast on YouTube as well, just every single Monday. So make sure you look out for that. And we get all sorts of great comments along the way. So like and leave a comment if you liked what you saw. Also on Tuesday, the Rocket Hockey Report comes out. That's hosted by Amy Johnson. And that's how you're going to keep up to date with everything Laval Rocket. The latest episode entitled Just Six Games Left to Secure Their Fate. So make sure you check that out if you want to keep up to date with everything Laval Rocket. And once again, tons of great comments on there. So if you like what you saw and you have something to say, hit the like button and leave a comment. Amy loves to hear from all of her viewers. And if you like the Rocket Hockey Report, you're going to love the Habs Hockey Report that comes out every single Thursday. Once again, hosted by Amy Johnson. And the latest episode entitled The Montreal Canadiens Have a Good Dilemma on Their Hands. So check that out. Leave a comment, like if you like what you saw, hit subscribe. And you can also tap that notification bell so that you don't miss a single piece of our content. And also, I have an announcement to make, and I would like to welcome Nathan to the show. And Nathan, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for asking, Michael, and looking forward to being on the show again.
So in addition to all the other great content produced by Rocket Sports Media, you and I have been doing something brand new this year. We've been live streaming from our YouTube channel.
Yes, brand new this season. We've started doing live stream watch-alongs for the Montreal Canadiens games.
And we've been doing it straight off of our own YouTube channel a couple times per month.
Yeah, so look out for upcoming live stream watch-alongs throughout the season.
And for those that haven't joined us before, how does this whole thing work?
Well, first you want to tune into the game on one screen, press mute, and join our live stream on YouTube. For those watching our live stream on their TV, make sure you take out your laptop or mobile device and join us there as well, so you can send more comments and questions into our live chat. We will have live play-by-play, scores, updates, analysis, and commentary, all while interacting with viewers via the live chat. It's a perfect way to add an extra layer of entertainment to your hockey game night. And for those who have joined us before, we've added a new segment at the end of each game.
Yes, make sure you stick around at the end of the game for a post-game show. The last round, we'll do a little summary of the game and highlight all the important takeaways. Plus, it's another opportunity for our viewers to send in their thoughts along the way. And Nathan, throughout the game, we do a couple intermission shows.
Yeah, that's right. We have an intermission show entitled Nathan's Notes, where we break down the game and have great topical discussions to keep everyone up to date.
So make sure you head over to youtube.com/allhabs. That's our YouTube channel. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and tap that notification bell so you don't miss a single one of our upcoming live streams.
We look forward to watching the game with you. Make sure you subscribe and tap that notification bell so you don't miss out.
We'll see you there. So thank you very much to Nathan for joining and making that announcement about our live stream watch-alongs. This past week, on Tuesday, April 2nd, Nathan and I streamed a watch-along as the Florida Panthers took on the Montreal Canadiens, and it was a fun game. You can still watch the replay on our YouTube channel if you missed it. Tons of great conversation, tons of great reaction on there. And we have one final stream coming up during this regular season. And it's the last game of the year, Detroit versus Montreal, Tuesday, April 16th. Nathan and I will be back for the final live game watch-along of the season. So make sure that you go to our YouTube channel, hit subscribe, tap that notification bell, like all the content, and engage with us in the comments section. We'd love to hear from each and every single one of you.
Don't miss this one on the Tuesday, April 16th, final game of the season, and you'll get a chance to participate with Nathan, Michael, and with a ton of other Habs fans, and the occasional opposition fan drops in as well.
Of course. We welcome all fans, and we even have had some Leaf fans pop in for a brief moment to say hello. It's fine, though. We accept everyone. Also, while you're on our YouTube channel subscribing, open up your favorite podcast app and subscribe to the premier Rocket Sports Radio podcast on your favorite podcasting app, The Canadians Connection. You can find every single episode as well at canadiansconnection.fm. We come out with episodes every single Saturday, even throughout the off season. So it's a busy off season coming up, and we'll keep you covered. If you enjoy the show, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave us a 5-star review. We are your inside link to the Montreal Canadiens. And Rick, our Rocket Sports team has a little announcement to make.
Well, if you'd like to join all the fun, you're welcome to reach out to us. You can reach out to us via email, hello@rocketsportsmedia.com, or via text 5853-ROCKET, and tell us that you want to write for us, you want to be a production person as part of our podcast, or contribute in another way. We have a great team, and we're always looking for new talent, and we'd be glad to hear from you.
Yeah, always a ton of fun and a great community here at Rocket Sports, so we look forward to hearing from each and every one of you. And now it's time to get to our Canadians Connection question of the week, as we ask all of our listeners, as a Habs fans, what are you looking forward to as the most as the NHL regular season winds down? We want to hear from you. And Rick, we get tons of messages and comments, tweets, emails throughout the week. And we have some reaction to last week's episode, Canadians Connection Podcast, episode 289, entitled Caulfield and Slafkovsky, Decoding the Science of Their Success. And we have a couple of YouTube comments to get to and an email. I'll let you start this one up. And this comment comes on YouTube from one of our very loyal listeners,
from she_26, who certainly participates in the live streams, consumes all the content, leaves a lot of comments, and we certainly always appreciate hearing from her. She says, first, I'd like to start with a great hero to pick after the horrific bus crash, and we talked about the winner of the week last week, going on to the Paralympic Games. And she says, now I'll go over to the loser of the week. Holy geez, never heard of Berkshire before. What he said until you guys brought it up. So I checked it out. I even got to see his Crayola chart he made out. Oof, what a jerk. Fowler's been rocking it. Dobish has been rocking it too. I like Ryan Backer. He stays humble, and I'm rooting for him to excel, especially after the garbage he and his family had to go through when he was drafted. She goes on to say, I think that Cole Caufield will be fine once he's healed both mentally and physically. I have no idea when I can't pick one between Caufield and Slavkovsky because I have no idea when it comes to elite, but only because it seems like it'll take a while to see how these two progress. Too bad we don't have other choices, right? lastly, I'm separating Marty St. Louis' family situation to Marty St. Louis' coach. I'm not a fan of him, never will be. Don't care if he gets better and better. You cannot be a good coach and play favorites. Just no, no. What about Ullinen and Jacki? I like seeing what Trevor was doing and mentioned it last time. Wish we could have gotten to see a little more of him as the interim head coach. And she concludes by saying, thanks again, guys. Lots of great info as usual.
So appreciate that comment coming from she. Another comment coming on our YouTube channel comes from one at Habanations, and Habanations says, oh, all caps with elite. I would assume that someone tinkered with Cole's shot to relieve stress on his shoulder during the shoulder recovery. I question what's considered elite in the NHL. What is an elite player? Is an elite player the best player on a team? How would Suzuki or Caufield slot in on the Rangers or Oilers or Avalanche? Would they be elite on those teams? Let's say Cole and Nick were playing for the Leafs. What line would they play on? Is Suzuki better than Pettersson or Trocheck or Barzal or Barkov? Because those are all elite players in my eyes. Cole and Nick are complementary players on a winning team. Second line talent, in my opinion. Saying otherwise has been a problem in Habsland since 1994. I would assume that you are all on board with a Hudson hype train as well. Is he elite? 5'10 and 160 pounds? It's nothing personal. I question everything I'm fed by Habs media. English media is overly positive and hypes everything like gold. French media trashes everything like it's a lump of coal.
Well, I think we'll end that one right there. And I'll just say, we love all the comments, all the opinions. The only thing I'll caution on is the classic straw man. I assume you're on the Lane Hudson train, and so I'm going to argue your straw man point, even though you didn't make it. You make your points, we'll make our points, and we'll be glad to enter into that kind of discussion. The other thing I'll say is good on you for being skeptical and questioning what you hear. We try to do our best to back up what we say, and we think everybody should.
Yeah, of course. We love hearing everyone's opinions there, too. And Rick, we have one final comment coming in the form of an email that I'll let you read out to everyone.
Yeah, this came from Ben, very eloquently written, and he sent it to hello@rocketsportsmedia.com. Says, hey, Rick, thought I'd share some perspective on Cole Caufield and the ladder jack recovery, the surgery that he had, and then the recovery process. Ben says that he had the same surgery on both shoulders over the last 2 years. Thank God it's over. And he'd like to share some context. Here's my hypothesis. When you go through the surgery, they tell you that even at best, you're likely to lose 5% of your range, specifically in external rotation. The doc on the show, that's Doc Morris, explained it perfectly. And I 100% agree with his takes on the recovery. I have an opinion on that 18-month timeline. The change in range is by design to counteract the instability. And remember, Dr. Morris explained the surgery like it's putting a doorstop there so that it's more stable and it doesn't fall out of the or pop out of the joint. Ben goes on to say, for someone like me, this doesn't affect day to day, but for an athlete who has practiced a shot thousands of times and made it their signature, this would take time to adjust and work through. I believe this is why his wrist shots and hand eyes seem similar, but you just don't see the same precision from his snapshot or slap shot, and probably most notable, his one-timer. The reason is these type of shots have a long swing trajectory tied to the shoulder, flexibility and range. When you swing a club or stick, your path trajectory can change due to this external rotation. So even though he is physically gifted, as the best trainers and physio and supplements to help him this change, in my opinion, would be quite significant. Imagine that for 10 to 15 years, since he could shoot a puck, he practices his shot a certain way, then suddenly he has a 5% variance in his flexibility. On top of that, I think Cole is well known for his precision. So with that power and speed mixed in, it will take time. Personally, I would look out for him diving into his offseason coming up. In recovery and progression, there are stages. Last offseason would likely be a return to play goal. This year, potentially, his goal might be, how can I achieve maximum potential with my body's new normal? Now let's hope I can use all of this to improve my own goal swing. As always, enjoy the show and love your content. All the best from Ben. What a terrific email from Ben. And he made some very good points and kind of agree with the take that we were, as we were taking our listeners through the surgery, the recovery, and the patience that's going to be required for Cole to get back to his baseline.
So appreciate the message coming from Ben, and we look forward to hearing from you and over the course of the next week. Just make sure you let us know your first name and where you're from. That way we know who we're talking to. Coming up in the next week, CH Weekly. Of course, have you heard there's the eclipse happening on Monday? Good visibility from Montreal, not so much from Laval. So come over to the Montreal Island here.
Yeah.
But tonight, April the 6th, Toronto visits Montreal. And on Sunday night, April the 7th, Montreal is going to visit the New York Rangers. On the 9th, they're going to face off against the Philadelphia Flyers at home before they hit the road once again on the 11th to visit the New York Islanders. So lots of great teams to watch, lots of good hockey to get to, and that's going to be a wrap for us all today. Thank you all for listening. Make sure that you subscribe to the Canadians Connection podcast on any of your favorite podcast apps or in the player. And you can share it on social media if you like what you heard. Enjoy your week. We'll be back here next Saturday, April the 13th, for another great episode. Thank you all for listening to the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.